Do you have a nickname, Russ?
I really don't. You know, back in the day, they would just call me like RC, like an RC Cola, but that's it.
Not, that's pretty lame.
It's lame. I don't have a nickname.
Yeah. Well, think of something
call
for you.
Einstein. Hey, Einstein. Well, that'd be kind of sarcastic.
Or
it would be.
Now that Don Koharski's retired, Koho.
Here,
could
I'll,
be his.
I'll include you in this one. Jim Van Horn, who's a longtime radio TV guy in the Toronto area, greater Toronto, former DJ and all that, sports legend. Well, his question was on a tweet, not to us, but just out there. I just happened to follow him. It says, what would Michael Therrien say about Morgan Riley's gaffe last night? Hashtag under the bus. So he's kind of being sarcastic.
Yeah, he would say something pretty horrible, and Michael Therrien should be thankful that he has a job, but instead he would, you know, hang out his best player to dry. That's what would happen.
Yeah, and certainly Mike Babcock did address, like, the faux pas by Morgan Riley, to say the least, and he wasn't big on Bernier's goaltending either. Threw it out there a bit, but but yeah, Michel Therrien, it's unusual any level of hockey that way. Russ, we're just saying that Michel Therrien has chosen his words carefully the second time around. And whether he's giving Mark Bergevin some wiggle room to get out of his declaration that the coaching position is safe for the rest of the season, or or if he's just echoing sentiment like he's pissed off and maybe other people said, hey, you know what, good on you. Let's give it to PK. Let's give it to our star player a little bit. I don't know. It certainly was it added fuel to the fire, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I think he is PO'd, but I think the problem is, Subban had really been stepping up for weeks, like in the locker room, on the ice, trying to do everything he can. But Therrien really wasn't holding anybody else on the team responsible. Then all of a sudden he comes out and holds the one guy who was being responsible more responsible. And I thought that was kind of odd.
What's your reaction when you hear Eric Staal say he won't be crushed if Hurricanes trade him? What message does that send when you are 4 points back of a playoff spot with 24 games to play?
Tells me he's going to get traded. He got interviewed on the midday show, that the Sports Center show that gets shown on NHL Network, like about a month ago, and he said he would be the one that decides when he would lift the no trade as the deadline looms. And then yesterday he tried to sort of turn it around on the team, almost like, well, you know, it's up to the team. It's like, no, he's the one holding the hammer. So he's basically telling us that, you know, he's not going to be there for at least the rest of this season, much longer.
Does he have a list? Is he one of those list guys, or is it just a no trade completely that he has to lift?
I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling they will just work it with him, then for the right team, he'll just lift it.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways that it's good on Carolina making a rush for the playoffs, but he wants a chance to win a Stanley Cup again, if that's what they're looking at. He's also taking the heat off the management if they choose to trade him, right? He won't look like a villain. They won't look like a villain. So that'll be interesting.
Plus, who's to say he doesn't come back?
Absolutely.
Like, so he can get his team assets, and then he could still come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, on the junior hockey front, co-host of Hockey Prospects Radio, boy, the Flint Firebirds situation in the Ontario Hockey League. Now, they played last night. They lost to Erie. If you haven't followed it, maybe you can fill people in a little bit, Russ, about a new owner. And I mean, of all places, a city like Flint, which is, you know, with the water situation going through just a horrible, horrible time with that. And I know hockey is a back burner thing, but you don't need something like this. And I, for one, applaud the action David Branch and the OHL are taking. It just sounds like a nightmare if your kid was playing on that team.
Yeah, it was a nightmare because the new owner has a son that plays on the team, and he had pretty much been complaining all along that he's not getting enough playing time. So early in the year, he fired the whole coaching staff. Well, then the team had a walkout, son included, by the way, and he stood with his players, and they walked out, and then ownership hired back the same coaches. Well, then the problem propped up again, and the owner decided to fire all the coaches again. And that's when David Branch finally stepped in and just said, no, this is enough. And the league has right now assumed control of that team. And rightly so, because these are kids that are going to be affected. You know, Will Bitton is a guy who, he's a 5'10" center there. He has a chance to go in the first round of the draft. It's going to be, you know, a tough situation for him now to sort of work through all of this and still show off his best every night. The one other thing, too, just so we know that it's out there, that arena does not have a water problem. It's a brand-new arena, and their water's been tested, and it's fine. So even though they give players bottled water if they want, there is no water problem there.
Yeah, I just mean with the city of Flint in general, but it's good. Yeah, I'm certainly the arena there. It used to be the IHL affiliate of the New York Rangers, but all that's gone on. So it'll be an interesting story there. They lost last night, and the league's taken it over, and Pat Peake now involved in coaching, and some guys put there by the team. But it's
they have a real tough. They're playing like three of the top teams. They got did they just lose to Erie, or is that the next game? They have Erie. They have London.
Sarnia tonight.
They got some tough ones coming up. But also, you know, there's the billet situation. You stay with people in town.
Yes.
And there's the water issue because, you know, agents have to decide whether, do I want my client or parents, I want my kid going to play in Flint. I mean, there's a lot of factors here.
Well, and that's the thing. Will Bitten's father, because he's the star of the team, was basically like, I'm not putting up with this. My kid's not putting up with this anymore. Almost as if to say he's not playing here next year. And then, you know, everything sort of hit the fan. So in a way, that was a dad that did the right thing, whereas the coach, the owner, was the worst possible hockey dad trying to get his kid more playing time when he's really not deserving of it and he's not a very good player. It's just – and the kid knows. He knows what kind of player he is, and the dad really put him in a bad spot again.
Here's the other thing is people may not realize this, but this was the Plymouth Whalers. And I mean, they had a great run. There were some fine young players coming out.
They had a great history.
Yeah. With Peter Karmanos, that was like his baby there, you know, with the CompuWare Arena and, you know, where everything started for him was in that area before he bought the Hartford Whalers and then moved him down to Carolina. Right. So, anyway.
Yeah, rich history. They've had a lot of great players go through there.
Where would be good spots now for a junior team? Because it's interesting. I think of years ago, the one in Tri-Cities, for example, they put one in the middle of nowhere in the Western Hockey League, and it just, you know, Stu Barnes and that
still
running
going.
It. I know, just kicked ass and always had been.
I got to tell you one, and I know it just recently happened, but Belleville would really love to get a team back. And I've been there. People love hockey. They will show up. But that was another one of those situations where I felt like it got like the Supersonics of the NBA, and they just left. Just because it was like, you know, we can get a new arena, make more money, but they could take a team again easily.
Well, you know, where it started was Saginaw, when North Bay finally went to Saginaw, and the bluff was called, right? And so all of a sudden, North Bay found out they really missed having a junior team. Uh-huh. So in the ensuing years, places, all kinds of places like Barrie and Oshawa, whatever, I mean, just places worked out deals to keep their junior team in town, and they got sweetheart deals. The amount, London is like a major league franchise, London, Ontario, the Hunter brothers running it. Now there's a franchise going back to North Bay. So you're right about Belleville, and they played hockey Saturday nights. I mean, even though Saturday night's hockey night in Canada, it was the one junior team. P.K. Subban was there, and a whack of guys were there. I would love to see it get back to Belleville. I hope that's the case, Russ.
Yeah, me too.
Brampton's another interesting spot, too, because aren't they an ECHL team?
Yeah.
And they're asking the council for money, like, because they're losing money. It's an ECHL franchise in Canada, which is highly unusual for that league's history. So there's definitely going to be some moving around again. And now there's, you know, there's USHL markets that take up what would potentially be OHL markets in the state of Michigan, like Muskegon, for example. So that might make sense, but there's already a franchise there in another league. So I guess they'll figure things out.
And the USHL is continuing to branch out. So they're going to, you know, it's not going to be like a war or anything, but they are going to be sort of fighting over some spots, I'm sure.
Is there anything going on in the Philly area in particular that you're aware of for this hockey weekend across America, other than, you know, the rinks opening up their doors to allow kids to play for free or give it a shot for free?
I haven't seen anything in particular, but I know the Snyder Youth Foundation always does great things with USA Hockey, so I'm sure there's things that I'm unaware of.
And actually, we got somebody, David Ogren, joining us next from USA Hockey, so we'll chat about that. Just, you know, speaking of Montreal, the Flyers are playing the Canadiens tonight, and I'm curious, the Philadelphia team, what's been the real pleasant surprises? I mean, we know Shane Gostisbehere, for example, but other things that have really gone right for the Flyers this year?
I think, you know, it started with Gostisbehere in the sense that, and I always say this, when teams always seem to be looking for this veteran to sort of spark him, and sometimes the best thing to spark a team is a good young player with fresh legs and a fresh attitude. And even in the locker room, Shane Gostisbehere has been very, very vocal and very fun, and he's really just sort of like lightened the mood there. And guys like Nick Cousins have come up, and he's buried a few important goals lately. You know, even Brandon Manning has filled in really well. So these are all young guys from Lehigh that have added an impact on the Major League roster, and I think that's helped. You know, Wayne Simmons has certainly kicked it in gear, and Voracek and Giroux have done really well. And so, that, you know, again, Voracek kicking it in gear was a big deal, too, because when he was suffering, the team was suffering.
Yeah, well, they'll be at it tonight. And like you said, look forward this weekend as well, catching you on Hockey Prospects Radio, not just players, but also healthy franchises and, unfortunately, yep, unhealthy franchises. We'll see how the Flint situation plays out. Thanks very much, Russ.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, RC Cola.
Russ Cohen.